that the breakdown of your women, your youth, your people with disabilities and so on. Just an expansion on that one. The second one will be that I was just interested to know that last year it was all about posts that were not the vacant posts. How far are we now with that, the vacancies within the department? Because it might be the cause of us working very slowly, of not having enough soldiers to work on. The other one that I'm interested in is on page 32, the projects and professional services, output performance indicator, and then the target. Something has been said there about church and others. One is not clear about church and others. Maybe the last one, I'll come in the second round if I get a bite. The last one that I just wanted is just a concern. The last time we were with the portfolio committee of correctional services, and we went to Kimberley, the new prison or the new correctional center, escalation. And it's worrisome. Is there anything that could be done? Because why I'm asking this question, right where I am from in Upington, the hospital has been started some years ago, and up to now it's not been finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. EG, on page 87 of your threat plan, you made mention of lack of funds to fill vacancies, and also that in one of the meetings in February, you made mention of 707 unfunded posts that are there. Why come up with unfunded posts, knowing very well that there are no funds to fill those posts? And in today's presentation, you are no longer talking about 707 unfunded posts. You are talking about 734 unfunded posts. Can you also deal with it? Again, on page 56 of the stretch plan, you talk about you developing a way of vetting staff that is there, that you are going, your target will be 360. Are you saying, as we are talking, staff members that are in the system have not been vetted? And if, can we get the number of those who have been vetted? The current backlog of legal cases. Your strategy on page 56 is to reduce it by 40%. Can you also elaborate on that? Also, what is the reason for the department to now develop an internal audit plan? As we are talking, isn't there, don't you have an internal audit committee? And if you do, why developing? On efficiency, energy efficiency, on page 25, you mentioned 65,000 kilowatts per hour reduction. Meanwhile, on page 70, you mentioned 60,000 kilowatts per hour. Why discrepancy of 5,000? On page 25 again, you mentioned a target of 15% kiloliters for 2011-2012. That is on page 70, if I'm not mistaken. Mentioned the reduction of 4%. How are you going to do it? Can we share that? Building inspection conducted on state-owned and leased accommodation that you are, as per region, are going to be able to inspect 20. I'm sure you're taking all these questions. On the disposal of 4 foreign properties identified, in 2008, Honorable Minister, there was a ministerial moratorium that you cannot dispose, that you cannot, as a department, dispose a property before having a concrete asset register. Now you are saying you are going to dispose some of the properties. Do we have a concrete asset register? If the answer is yes, why the query by the Auditor General that there's no real asset register? There's 37 properties on page 71. There's 37 properties to be disposed for commercial purposes. Which ones are these properties? Where are they situated? And what are the reasons? Still on page 7, 20 properties for land reform purposes. Can we know those 20 properties? And put it. The 3,000 hectares of land parcels released. When was the 3,000 land parcels released and to which department? On the asset register, you are saying, Sasa, by 2013, it will be completed. Sasa, do you remember that as October 2009, the immovable assets were calculated as the numbers you gave us today? Meanwhile, in 1999, the indication was that the asset register that are in the register is 239,494, excluding 2% of data that still had to be verified. Sasa, in one of the meetings, we requested that we get information on the profitable wine farms in the Western Cape, St. John's in the Eastern Cape, South African Bantu Trust property in Wood Bay in the Cape Peninsula, panel shop on its harbour front which was being leased for 1 rand if not 10 rand, 35 big farms mainly in the Free State owned by the state, though it has been transferred to land for land distribution. We want to know all if all those properties have been included in the asset register, and if not, why are they not included? And Sasa, again, we went to Mpumalanga. Mr. Mabuza was there. Is Mr. Mabuza here, my brother-in-law? Property around Lebombo. Minister, there's no way that we can lease out a land to an unknown person and in return we go and pay rent for that land. That to me doesn't make any sense. Still on property, Minister, I'm from Limpopo, in the hometown of Mr. Vukela. There are buildings built, the homeland buildings there, very strong, very beautiful buildings that are not taken care of, Minister. If those buildings are not, we don't want to use them, whatever, why don't we just rent them out? Around Giani, around Venda, around Lubahomo, around Gangwana, all over the country, those buildings are not taken care of, Minister. Minister, I visited, though it will look like a repetition. I visited one of your warehouses here, next to your office. There's new furniture in the plastics, chairs, carpets, roofing tiles, floor tiles, curtains, blinds. I can name, and some of the cupboards. There's still cupboards that are there. They are still locked. We don't know what's in those cupboards. We don't know what is happening. Arcadia in Pretoria, Minister. The biggest warehouse. Really, Minister, how can we do that with such high level of poverty? Having furniture in those warehouses, new furniture getting worn out in plastics. Though the minister, you said there's a discussion in the pipeline, but I think, Minister, we need to speed up the discussion. The reduction of what is it? Debt. Can we get a strategy? How are you going to do it? Because there's a tendency in the departments, nearly all the departments, of not doing anything when it comes to debt, so that you can write them off. Collection of revenue. How are you going to do it? Department of Health, Department of Education, those are the culprits. You know very well, Minister, that those are the culprits who are not paying any services. To say what will be your turnaround strategy so that you tell us that how are you going to do it? Because those are the culprits. And there's no way that you can say you are going to switch off whatever. There are our people there, sick people there, our children there. So how are you going to do it? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to say a few things here. The transfer of properties. I think the transfer of properties start by the property being transferred to the government books. And then from there, the government has got the right to sell them because it is its property. They just cannot just sell something outside their property. Furthermore, I think the government has got conveyancers who are dealing with these issues. Yeah. So it is a very good thing that the conveyancers must do a good job and speed up the processes so that whenever the government wants to sell properties, they know that it is under their name. Well, another issue is poverty alleviation. This issue always touches me because I'm from the rural areas, and our people are hungry out there. There are projects which the department claims to have sent to the municipalities so that they can see to it that they deliver to rural people. I think it is very important that they monitor these things so that we know exactly that the money does go to rural people and poor people, and the projects are helping those poor people down there. We need monitoring in this. And then I would want to go to math schools. In 2005, 2006, it was said that in the Eastern Cape there are 800 math schools. I don't know whether Umzimkhulu was included, because Umzimkhulu alone had 54 math schools. If at all you deduct that 54 from 800, you are left with 746 math schools. From that 746, how many schools are left so that we know exactly that we are doing a good job? By 2014, we shall have done away with math schools. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Nguyen.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is around, actually it's a follow-up on some of the issues that have been discussed about the legal cases. What I would like to know the total number of these legal cases, and then how many have been suspended with pay, or how many have been suspended without pay. And I can see, according to the presentation, the target is the reduction of 40%. I don't know whether by 2012 we've reduced, would have reduced the number of cases by 40%. I don't know why. Why not 100%? If we really want the minister and the deputy minister to start on the clean slate, why the target is 40%? My second question is on the it's still a follow up on the consultation consultants.
Comrade November made mention of the prisons that were that took years to be finished, and she forgot to mention the cost escalation of those. For instance, the Kimberley prison started as 200, it's about plus 100 million, but it ended up costing about a billion. And how does that happen? It's still the issue of the consultants. I think I'm trying to emphasize the point that the issue of the consultants is very, very serious. My other question is on page 24. I don't know, there are so many these documents. Under the performance indicator, approved market evaluations for the acquisition and disposal of property. My question is, do we have the disposal policy? Especially because, for instance, at local level, the municipalities just dispose of all, regardless whether it's a national property or a provincial property, they just dispose of. My question is, at national level, do we really have the disposal policy, which could be used even at provincial and local level? My other question is around the vesting. We're told that the vesting is done by rural development only on former TBV states. The presenter made mention of the fact that Chairperson, can I continue? Oh, okay. The target, or by the way, she said we were worried 35%. It's on page 27. So, is that 35% by the rural development or 35% by us? Okay. My other question is around the on page 4, skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. The filling of the vacancies. There was a call that the vacancies should be filled within 6 months. The question is, how far are we now with the filling of the vacancies? How many do we have, and then how many are we? They are still outstanding. On page 4, on outcome number 4, the reduction of youth unemployment. Are we still on, especially on in EPWP, or it's on page 5, the use of National Youth Service? Do we still envisage to use it? My other question on the energy efficient program, I would like to know how efficient is this and how far are we percentage wise on this reduction of energy consumption. Is it really working? Because it's been there in the books in the last few years. It's been there for some time. But I would like to know whether it's really working, and how do we, are we still going to use the National Youth Service as we once told before? And on page 6, on intergovernmental cooperation to improve service delivery, I still have a problem on schedule 4. The local government, there is really a gap there. If we are really serious about service delivery, we need to do something about the local government level. We went to an extent of saying, if it comes to a push, we can go with the department. because we want to see things happening. It's just very quiet down there. And we suspect maybe it could be the issue of the capacity, or you go there, you find people that are actually are really not, not that they are not serious about what they are doing, but there's just no capacity in some cases. Okay, it was around the other one, it was around the disposal policy. Or on the policies we are having, it's on page 37. Construction property policy regulation. In all those, there's CPE, there's Agrima, there's expropriation bill. It's only the deadline is 2011-2012. I'm not trying to be funny, but just to say, we would like to see the situation where the department is saying in 2 weeks' time or in 3 weeks' time, we would like to start with CPE bill. In the next few months, would like to see this expropriation bill being taken off the ground. But it's just 2011, 2012, which could go as far as 2014. And again, this term, we don't have any bills coming as the department, which is really very worrisome. Very worrisome. As we indicated long before that, this CBE bill is very, very crucial if we are really serious about the skills development in South Africa. And but the on the amnesty call, we were told by the same department that it would be launched by the end of March. We just would like to know, as the portfolio committee, whether it was launched or what is this if it was not, what is the problem? And the minister said it should wait and for about 6 months to have the Operation Buisa. But by now we should be having the strategies. We have started. This has been launched, and then by this time we'll have this Operation Buisa of the properties, government properties. And we saw the minister announcing over the television several times the invitation of the artisans and engineers, engineers partnership, in the interest of the service deliveries. I would like to know how was the response, and how many of we have responded, especially the old engineers. The internship and learnership program, with the intention of training and the assistance to the young professionals. How far are we with the CPE bill if we are really serious about this? We need to I mean, we need to be more focused on what we really want to achieve. Otherwise, it's just talk and talk and talk without any implementation. Thanks for the time. Oh, and the Kiama bill, the extension of principles to local government. By when? The Government Immovable Asset Management Act that was passed in 2007. We really would like to know by when, because we've been saying these things. You know, I was saying maybe it's the age thing. I think I've had enough. I've had a lot of promises, but at the end of the day, there's no implementation. And about the rolling out of the bursary program, what is the target? How far are you? How many have responded to that? Because I remember this was once done by CBE, but it didn't bring the required answers. That's it so far, Chairperson.
Thank you, Vanya Mabila.
Chairperson, I've got a proposal. The proposal I am eating, we are not in this document, but we need a department information. You know, most of the questions that you are raising, if the operational plan DG was complete and accurate, I will tell us for me. Because all the questions is what was I would need is always a low journey. Those are the things that suddenly have to appear in the annual performance plan. So when looking at this document, a leaky page is any that you are in the question. What was all these things that you are hanging with? No, what I'm saying, Chair, is that the questions that we are raising, are coming from the document. They are coming from this document. So what I'm saying, Chair, which each and every time, each and every page, will ask the same question. Here you are saying you're going to do this. When? Mm. How much? How? Mm. Why? My proposal is that, DG, we note this document. We request each department to go to each and every page of this document. And must get the information. Annual performance plan. This treasury guidelines. And uma have the information yonke beyila. Ngabe dala siphumile. Because this is what we are going to do this when first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, at what cost. But each and every page la, yonke fanele sibuze konke lokho enikubhalela because the information is incomplete. That is my proposal, Chair, ukuthi why singanikeza department chance then boneni one day lapho sizobuka khona ke those issues. At least we've got Eli's good, what is it they are going to do? But it is akukhanyi ukuthi bazokwenza nini, kanjani, ngamalini, yiloko esesikudingayo, the extra information. And ngicabanga ukuthi the one day mhlawumbe angeke size sicede if the information is accurate and is based on this document that you are presenting today. Ingabuyi seyitshintshile. Once yabuya yatshintsha, seyiqala okunye-ke futhi. It means that once you change the document, we have to start afresh. But the document will keep on asking one and the same question because the information is incomplete. So I think we'll finalize this meeting Saturday morning, if not Friday night. So that is my proposal. Honourable members, I agree, but I don't think all documents that have been distributed here are the same. You know, with this one signed by Mr. Mabuza, my brother-in-law, it has got first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. It's very clear. This one is very clear. Do we all have those documents?
Yes.
Secondly, honourable members, this is a process that we must follow for us to present a report to Parliament before the debate. So we must complete this process for us to be able to present a report to Parliament. DG, the concern raised by Ngwenya Mabila, can you, after this meeting, make sure that you present the reports that are not of the same template, because what we need to what we need as a committee is that when presenting your strategic plan. There's a treasury template that you need to follow in presenting your reports. So some of the documents that are here, you did not follow treasury regulations of the way reports should be presented. Talk to me, Mr. Mabuza. Without any waste of time, can I allow them to respond?
On that one, Chair.
Okay.
No, thanks, Chair. On this one, Chair, I think they have done it, all of them. If you look at this unit, they have put the first quarter up to the fourth quarter. You know, all of them, not only your brother-in-law. but what one wants to request further, because I think Ngwenya Mabila was raising the issue of the budget so that we can also monitor the budget, because it's only to say by that we'll be reaching 25% on the first quarter, but also maybe the budget part of it. I think they have done that one. The only request, Chair, maybe in future, they must come up with a consolidated document like this, you know, attached together, so that when we go together, they are presenting this one. Also, on the other side, we have got this document that is an annex on each quarter. What are they going to achieve, their targets per quarter? That is the only request, Chair. Not only your brother-in-law.
They are still not the same, Honourable Member. If you can check on the one that I was talking about, the strategic objective, output, performance, annual target, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, there's also the cost.
Yes,
this one of Mr. Mabuza doesn't have the cost, doesn't have the annual target. That's why I'm saying there should be uniformity.
Constituting annual plan started last year when we passed the money bill. I don't want to defend the department officials at all. I think the point that members are raising are very valid. They go back to what we had initially said, that we take note as a department and that we did not do our quality control. The different DDGs represent their different branches. We note that going forward we are supposed to have one document, not this piece and that piece and this piece and this piece. It's not supposed to be like that. We note that, honorable members, and take the responsibility that going forward you will not have the chairperson's son-in-law's document and so-and-so's document, because those documents were never supposed to reach members signed by individual DDGs. It's a document that must be consolidated by the DG as the accounting officer and the reporting officer. So we note that, chairperson, honorable members, We promise and make a commitment that we are all in a learning curve. It's a learning process for all of us. It's the second year. We also note that this process has a direct implication on the rest of the process going forward. We note also that compliments of the elections, we don't have a lot of time, the chair had reminded me, to be able to get the many days. We note also that the report of the committee needs to be in and tabled and passed within 7 days before our budget vote. So with all of that in mind, and all of what we have done, we humbly beg the committee's indulgence that we be allowed to consolidate the documents, but we commit we won't start new ones. We just consolidate them into one document, add the required gaps, and present the document, obviously signed off by the minister, before the 20th of May, so that we are able to fit within the 7 days prior to the 27th of May, if the chair and the committee agrees, so that the additions and that we will be making are included in the tabled report that the committee will be adopting on the 27th to enable us to debate our budget vote on the 1st. I just wanted to make those humble requests to the committee, and to also say that we're noting also in terms of the manner in which our financials are presented. We also note that it is indeed the requirements of the new money bills that you are given that information to the last cent. We note that. It's a new process that we are all learning, and we will learn very fast. And we chair commit that we will cost the said branch allocated as per the CFO's presentation. And we will ensure that whichever gaps that would be identified would be further clarified before the 1st of June and before the 27th of May. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister, it's not a dialogue. I just want to clarify some of the issues. On the 29th of March, we wrote a letter as a portfolio committee to the department, requesting that when they present their strategic plan, it should be accompanied by the annual performance plan, by the operational plan, and also by organogram. And we kept on phoning. And last week on the 12th, we also reminded the department to say these are the issues that we're expecting from the department. That's why Nwanyamabila is raising this issue seriously. But at the same time, we requested them. I also personally, in a portfolio committee, said to the CFO and Mr. Henderson and our said official that should they not bring these documents, we're not going to meet them. Because of our humanity, we met you because we didn't want to have a fruitless expenditure. To say next time, Honorable Deputy Minister, we are not going to allow that. We'll expect the department to follow what a National Treasury is saying, to say that's how we should operate. So for now, will compromise, but we're expecting you to respond on the issues that were raised by the honorable members. And the last question is to honorable is to Mr. Mabuza. Mr. Mabuza, on under your corporate services, you give us you say you are going to reduce legal reduction in legal challenges on awarded tenders. How many tenders are you dealing with per month, per quarter? If yes, you can give us, because it looks as if there's a huge number of tenders that you are busy with. Can you share this the irregularity? And can you please respond to the questions? I'm going to give you another round of questions.
Thanks so much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and the Deputy Minister. We will share these questions. I hope every one of us was writing. I've got 2.5 pages
which I think some of them will require that we get information if we don't have, like for instance, where we need to come up with specifics. Before I respond to these other questions, I would suggest that in terms of the military bases, SASA will look into that, the filling of post, the acting DG corporate services, you look into that. The Kimberley Correctional Center, Ricky, you look into that. Vetting process, legal cases, and then the corporate services, you look into that. The energy and water efficiency, SASA, attend to that. In the disposal of four foreign properties, concrete asset register as to whether we have it. Properties to be disposed, 20 properties for land reform, where were they, where are they? 3,000 parcels released for land reform, which part of the land and for who was it released? And also including those, the profitable wine farms, cover all of them. And then the areas of, I think Ricky will cover areas also, the rural development and also covering infrastructure from various provinces, covering also the former homeless. Reduction of the debt, CFO. The issue of transfer of properties. I think you have all those questions, the disposal policy and so forth. With respect to the internal audit, I think CFO will also add on that one, whether we do have committees that sit. We do have a fully fledged internal audit unit in the department, and then we are complying with the relevant legislations to meet on a regular basis. I think maybe what we should do also is to share with the honourable members as to how often do we meet, CFO. The issue of furniture also. I think this one, I'm not sure about the furniture that's here in our stores that is still in plastics. We need to check also that one. And then the mass schools as to whether it covers the indications that have been made, the 800 and how many schools are still left to be attended in those in the province, Eastern Cape. CFO, just address the issue of the debt and collections.
Thanks, DG. Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, Deputy Minister. Let me start with the internal audit plan. As it was the Chair questioned that they'll be developing a plan. The internal audit in the department prepares a three-year plan, which is reviewed annually. So every year they will review the three-year plan and develop a new plan for the year under review. It is the same plan or the same process that we follow with our strategic plan and E&E. They also have to review their plans annually. But just to confirm what the DG has said today, we've got an audit committee that is fully operational. We have an internal audit unit in the department that is also supporting the department. The reduction of debt, we do have a turnaround strategy. What we started with was to reconcile our accounts so that the information that we have is correct. So when we start engaging with client departments, we are able to put our case forward because we have now a credible evidence to demand the debt that we have. In terms of the turnaround strategy, one of the initiatives that we've put in place is to work closely with National Treasury. What they have agreed upon is that if our reconciliations are correct and there's clear evidence of the debt, they will engage the client department, and if they are not coming forward, they will be able to take the money from their allocation as long as we are able to provide
clear evidence on the monies that are owed. With external clients, we follow up, we submit all our debtors to legal services, who in the process also helps us through the state attorney to collect from the private people. Collection of revenue, we have a turnaround strategy also in that regard. Previously, it was a challenge of saying our billing system was not correct, we were not able to bill. Even though we are still doing things manually, we have improved the monthly reconciliations, and that is helping us, as evidenced by our collection, which has gone up to almost 98%, where previously we were just on 60 and 70%. So the turnaround strategy is working. We've also increased the number of people who are working in the revenue section to enable them to produce statements on time and to invoice and to follow up on whatever is outstanding. The furniture in the plastics, I know that the Cape Town region, they were renovating the parliamentary villages. Now, what they did, which was not correct, was to proactively buy furniture before they can even complete the renovations. We noted that discrepancy, and we are working together with our movable assets team to provide a full report on what has happened, because in terms of their plan, the furniture that they've bought is going to be put in the parliamentary villages where they are busy with the renovations.
May we follow up, Chair, on the one for the parliamentary village? Maybe if we can they can share with us about the furniture that we are using. How often do they, after how many years do they check the furniture, whether it's still intact? Because we're talking of the parliamentary village furniture, while it's not bad, it's not like the Bavla Mangal Sebal Pendiganga, Gorol Boni Bavul Pendra, Telamans, and Oka Namanza, Shisa, Pindigaga, Bogele Pendi, Bapinde, 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 three times. Now Pume Bavin, Pumusuli Pend, Sopo Wongumzim. So that is the problem, Anglona, which if we're talking about this parliamentary, I'm talking about from experience. Because this is experience I have had in the Pinchalagon. Because I have a woman who finally could replace him, but we had this in Ghana and the finish of finally Ibe Igu CP state of being replaced. I'm not talking about who is an embedding, so which is finally of you, Bambangana.
If it is a follow up matter, let's first allow them to respond.
I wanted them if there is a police, because this is, if there is no policy, Chair, we'll have a problem on when is it being, renewed, and then see whether it still have a value as an asset. Maybe if they can also respond on the policy issue.
And add on that, the furniture that is removed from the parliamentary village, where is it taken to? Because we don't want to come up with a gossip club. We know that there were trucks that were, ferrying furniture and all that. It's a serious matter, but we don't want to talk about allegations and gossip.
Chair, before the CFO continue, I think I need to just contextualize the furniture things, like the chair rightfully says. I think it's a good thing that we don't have gossips and all of. In the minister's response, I want to clarify three things about Finnish. The first thing is that if Finnisher that is in 120 Plain Street, which is where the chair went, we had provided clarity, but I'll repeat it. There is no new Finnisher in that store. I want to say that, and I'm saying it with all the confidence, because until a month ago, I was responsible for Prestige. The Finnisher that is in the plastics,
were raped. I was I'm saying this because I was physically standing there. Those furniture that are wrapped in the plastic is not new. It is furniture, and I am the one that issued the instruction that it be wrapped so that it can then be reused. That's why I'm saying, Angias, there's three things. When the president in November extended a cabinet yakhe, there were no enough office space for the four incoming deputy ministers. What then happened was that we then needed to establish a process of ensuring that these four deputy ministers get office space. What, and 120 Blaine Street is full. What then we had to enter into a negotiation to remove DGs from 120 Blaine Street to Parliament Towers so we can create. Now, some of the DGs, first, like minerals, like were removed out of 20 Plain Street to Parliament Towers, and we were not finished with the renovations at Parliament Towers. So we then said, your furniture will be stored here. That's the first furniture, and they had to be put in plastics by our workshop guys so that they don't gather the dust. That's the first thing. The second, that's the first pile of furniture that I can, so that Aguna Umkosi, I don't know when the members visited, but I can pinpoint every single item and talk to it in that storeroom. Because at least even when the storeroom was packed properly, it was cleared, I was physically there on a Sunday in my jeans, so Anguti Bad, I was there in person. The second batch of furniture that is in that storeroom in 120, it is furniture that came out of the offices when the Ministry of Women, Children and People with Disabilities was established, and they were allocated office space in 120. The then minister found e-furniture in those offices that, which is I think what the chair was talking to, in those offices that she felt was really not, she was not comfortable in using that furniture. That furniture was then removed, and then she then designed the office according to Nidia. And because it's a new ministry, that was there. It was then decided that furniture in that storeroom will be going to Parliament Towers because it belongs to different departments, to different DGs. That's the first thing. We're not done with the renovations at Parliament Towers yet. The second aspect of the furniture in the 120 Plain Street is that the old furniture that came out of the ministries are currently being distributed to, because in the new homes that we have bought, Chairperson, when cabinet got increased, we need to establish full functioning studies for those ministers and deputy ministers who are taking occupation. I know for the fact that four, one minister and three deputy ministers were there to choose the furniture that they are going to, that must be taken to their home studies, so that we had made a commitment that we're not buying new furniture for them. With regards to the trucks, as the minister has said this morning, after we have passed the movable asset policy and established the movable asset unit, we then took, that was before the minister, the current minister came. The former minister had allocated that task to myself. I then worked with the CFO. We repacked the storerooms. We counted everything. We wrote a movable asset policy. We then started a distribution process. As minister said, the Minister of Social Development, the former minister, which was at Namulewa, was engaged. We engaged the MECs for social development. The trucks that are being referred to, the Eastern Cape Provincial Government was the first one to respond actively. They sent 25 trucks. And before they sent the trucks, I was just making sure that the MECs sent a submission, Chairperson, that, of the request that what they need.
the submission goes through the same normal processes, and then it gets costed, and then it gets approved, and the items get distributed, and it gets given to the said government, in this case the Eastern Cape government. And they were the ones that had sent the trucks in the past 4 months, as far as I know, November, December, January, February, to take what was allocated to them. And subsequently, I think we approved for the city of Johannesburg. Those are the ones that I can speak to. Thank you so much, Chair. My apologies. Members were saying another presentation. I hope I've clarified the furniture aspect.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. This issue of furniture, Deputy Minister, is not a dialogue. We're not dialoguing. But we need to put some of the things straight. You see, there was a traditional leader some four, five years back from Mpumalanga, whose traditional offices don't have furniture. I'm just highlighting some of the things that, so that we can all be on the same level. This traditional leader was allocated furniture. And when furniture was about to, by then I was not there, I was still in the province. When furniture was allocated to the traditional leader, that traditional leader was given an instruction to say, you must bring your own trucks to come and collect the furniture from Arcadia or wherever. And as I'm talking, that traditional leader, because he doesn't have a truck, did not qualify for that furniture because he couldn't go and collect that furniture. My problem is, Honorable Deputy Minister, those who don't have will never get what is due to them. Those who have got trucks will come and collect. We are talking of the poor of the poorer, and the poorer will still suffer because they won't have trucks to go and collect. And the rich will get richer because they've got trucks to collect. That is my problem. To say our people will never get whatever they are expected to get because they don't have. That's my question. Mavila.
Chair, I'm becoming confused. I don't know, noma ngisalale kahle ngoba ngigcine ngibeke i-proposal ngoba ngibona ukuthi sigcine sesilo. But what confuses me ukuthi if I heard the Deputy Minister well, she said that whether they send a communique to provinces, not to individuals, to provinces to make some requests, if I heard him correctly, not individuals. Then, Mlapinda will say Eastern Cape, that is where the Eastern Cape issue, that the Eastern Cape were able to send a truck to come and collect. But Chairperson, I'm still saying, kunezinye izinto engazi ukuthi kufanele siziqala somewhere. Because sizaze sikhulume, sihlanganise la. Bengicela namanje ukuthi le ndaba yale siyefinisha, ake siyiphakheni, siyiqala somewhere at another level. Ngoba sogcina sihlanganisa sigcina sesikhuluma sesiphikisana, asiqaleni lapho esijwayele ukuthi isiko lithi siyiqala sengikhuluma isintu, isiko lithi siyiqala kuphi. So bengicela ukuthi for now ake sihambeni siyiqala le madlozini before ingabuya ibe iphathi yani. Yeah. So phikisana le madlozini kusho ukuthi kunje then sesayifaka-ke siyabuya nayo la. Otherwise point taken. Asesilwa mama, wayikwale mama,
ngiyayivala Chairperson. Chairperson, what I'm asking is this: we mustn't entertain this thing of its furniture. I think as a portfolio committee we need a special briefing on this, another presentation completely different, because what we are getting from the Deputy Minister is completely different from the minister herself. And we went there, 120 Plain Street,
ye mandate ka minister. And what I'm asking ukuthi officials, deputy DGs, yeah, he must go there. I confirm it, this is sure. Then we need a prefix. We were about to go to the regional office la the Western Cape, but because of the transport, we didn't. Also there, if the DG can go there, then we need a prefix. I'm supporting Uma Bila Mangwe.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Are you still on this?
No.
Honourable Member.
No, Chair. I wanted to support the proposal by Ungwenya Mabila to say that because also the...
Yeah, out of order, Honourable Member, I didn't give you the slot. Thank you very much. DG, can you continue responding to our questions?
Thanks very much, Honourable Member. I would suggest that we proceed, CFO. Excluding the issue of furniture. Let's continue with other related questions. You can proceed with yours.
Thank you, DG, Deputy Minister, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. With the energy efficiency, there is a typo error. It should have read 65,000, and we are in the process of issuing a ratum, an amendment on that, because it equals 7% as per the ENE document. We do apologize for that. Relevant to the foreign properties, the four foreign properties that were identified is in Namibia. This was done over a period of over 6 years where Durco requested that we dispose these properties because it's costing them a lot of money in terms of securing the property and maintaining it, etc. So a fully fledged investment analysis were done for about 10 properties. Feasibility studies were done, etc. And the result was that we then disposed because it's costing too much to maintain upkeep and secure these properties over a period of time. A cost analysis was also done. The department, to answer the question relevant to the asset register, Durco has an asset register for foreign properties which they share with us. So we have their full asset register which they share with us on a quarterly basis, which also inputs into our asset register. The 37 properties identified for commercial purposes, most of these properties are for entities where entities such as Transnet identify properties that they would then, like the pipeline project or the Salisbury Island project, etc., mm-hmm. where there'll be enormous economic stimulus for the economy as well as job creation, etc. So when these requests come through, it gets analyzed in that context. But here again, we want to assure you that there's a fully-fledged feasibility study done before we release the properties. The other properties that is identified is mainly for Telkom, Centec, etc., and these are mainly servitudes. But what we will do is we will provide a list of the 37 properties in detail. Same with the 20 properties identified for land reform. We try to be proactive from our register and support all the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in terms of their objectives. So we will also provide a list of that properties. The 3,000 hectares in terms of land parcels for which departments? They're mainly for the Departments of Agriculture, Education, and various municipalities to support the various social programs that are on the list. And we can also provide a list of the properties there. The asset register discrepancy from 1999 and as of last year and this year, it is difficult. I have to agree there's a vast discrepancy, but I don't want to speculate. There might be many reasons in that there might have been just a complete download that included provincial properties, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, etc., because at that particular stage, perhaps, you know, the properties weren't segmented accordingly and produced. So there could be various permutations, but I don't want to venture there. We could then just look at it from a scientific basis as to what, or go back if we can, but it will require more time as to what database was produced there. I don't want to venture because it will be difficult for me to go there at this moment in time. Honourable Chair, we are standing on the report for the wine farms. I know we're working on it. It should be concluded shortly. The leases that we have for 99 years on some of very strategic properties, especially in Cape Town, we are busy with that list and it should get to you shortly. We do apologize. There was a delay at our office, but they were encountering some problems. They had to physically go to the regions to access lease agreements, old files, etc. So, but they are busy with that process, Honourable Chair. Property in Lebombo, Mr. Mabuza will comment on that. The homelands are taken from the conveyancing. We do agree it's a very, very important process, and we want to also give further comfort that before a property is transferred or sold, etc., we go through a very rigorous process on a provincial level with the PLDC. We go through the vesting process, and we ensure that the item 21 certificate is issued, and the property is vested accordingly and recorded accordingly, including the conveyancing process is done according. So that process is very rigorous and is applied to every property prior to a property being transferred or sold for commercial purposes, etc. The municipalities, yes, we agree that the disposal policy is in draft format, I'm told by my policy unit, and I don't have the time frames. Perhaps Devon can comment on the disposal policy being approved. We agree that it will provide support to the manner in which we dispose properties for all levels, all sectors of government. The vesting of properties, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, in terms of the sector-specific guidelines issued by Treasury, they are responsible for vesting of properties that is in the former TVB states. But if we are utilizing a property for any particular purpose, especially to provide a service to our user departments, etc., then in terms of the purpose, the property will be vested with DPW. The 35% is what we achieved last financial year, and that's the 35%. We want to increase that drastically this year. I think my document is at 70%. We want to increase that drastically this year with the appointment of the 38 contract workers, and we want to increase that to 52. The energy efficiency program, it is having an impact. We can provide a fully fledged report on all the buildings that have been retrofitted, both with the shared energy savings contract as well as the retrofitting exercise that we've undertaken recently. So we can provide a report in detail.
Discrepancies, Sasa? The discrepancies there?
I did mention that there was an error.
Okay.
Yeah. There was the number 5 that was missing, but it equals the 7%. But we will provide a detailed report across all regions on that particular program. The amnesty it's been changed to Operation Bring Back Chairperson, because apparently the Gauteng province had an Operation Buyisa. So our initiative is called Operation Bring Back. It was launched in the media around the 21st of February, but we're going to have an intensive campaign going forward within the next 2 weeks with TV, radio, and it's going to be the similar strategy that was employed for the graduates and the engineers. So you're going to be seeing that more intensively soon. And yes, Chairperson, I think I'm covered on most issues, and then I'm owing on all those reports as agreed.
Thank you. Mr. Samuel.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. The few issues that I'm going to respond on. The first one is once again the escalating cost of the new generation correctional centre in Kimberley. Now, members will recall that we appeared before the joint committees, public portfolio committees for correctional services and for public works on two separate occasions. The last such presentation was on the 18th of August of last year. And just to repeat what was said, or some of what was said, the original estimate that was prepared was in 2004 for 287.8 million rand. At that stage, as we explained in the committee, it was based on the high-level desktop analysis received from the client department, also based on their blueprint. At that stage, no detailed design, documentation, or build-up quantities were prepared. And the estimate also excluded items such as the bulk earthworks, the foundation, the surface base, the external works. What we learned from this exercise is that in future we should provide committees and the public with the overall cost, which includes all other items, which I will reflect on in a moment as well. But just to carry on, in March 2005, there was a pre-tender estimate based on the full design, the bills of quantities, the drawings. And that estimate was 540 million rand. And then in April 2005 was the first time the tenders were invited. Tenders closed on the 20th of April 2005, and at that stage, Public Works recommended a tender, the lowest price tender, for 499.4 million rand. Correctional services were equally concerned at that stage. They then commissioned their own investigation into the prices. Then we got an instruction from Correctional Services to re-invite tenders. Public Works then re-invited tenders in July 2006, noting this is 14 months after the closing of the first bid. And the revised pre-tender estimate at that stage was 638.2 million rand. Tenders closed, and there was a tender recommended for 662 million rand, which was in line with the pre-tender estimate. The bid was awarded in November 2006, and that then confirmed that our pre-tender estimate, together with the additional bulk works, bulk earthworks was a separate contract, as well as stormwater drainage, municipal expenses, which we have to also pay, of 252 million rand, confirmed that our pre-tender estimate estimates of 540 million rand is correct. But just so that the members have a full breakdown, as we presented at that meeting, the total project cost is not only the tender amount. What we had was the tender amount of 662 million rand, and then what we called CPAP allowance, which is contract price adjustment provisions, which is a legislative provision, as the indices are provided by Statistics South Africa. And the amount for that, which was budgeted at that time, was 104 million rand. We actually paid less escalation on the project. The actual escalation paid on that project was 118 million rand compared to the 104 million rand. That gave you a subtotal of 780 million rand. We then also had in provision of the document, or the tender provisions, was unforeseen items of 48 million rand. But we took a conscious decision as the Department of Public Works to remeasure the project after completion. And after remeasuring the project, we came up with a saving of 87 million rand. So compared with the actual work done, we were able to create or generate savings of 87 million rand. the additional cost that came onto that was variation orders as instructed by the client, and we were asked by the portfolio committees, the joint portfolio committees, to provide details, which we did, as well as the full bills of quantities, which we also did. And then the professional fees on this project, originally we had budgeted around 18%, which is the norm, of 156 million rand. What we paid at the end of the contract was 99.7 million rand. And then if you add the bulk earthworks to that, the total final cost, so the actual cost of the project, was 952 million rand compared to the 1 million, just over a billion rand. So that was the breakdown that we gave to the joint portfolio committees. Those members who were present will recall that we were requested to provide all of the bills of quantities, which we have done. And subsequently, we were of the opinion that the matter had been closed or resolved. That is on the new generation prison. Then, Chairperson, ma'am?
Can I make a you know, Mr. Samuel, I hear your explanation.
Yes, sir.
With the escalations in Brandfleet, I accept those escalations because of the type of the floor that is there, the security system that is in, that is used there, the kitchen, the type of kitchen, the system that they are using, the kitchen. I accept the explanation. But let us make sure that with the prisons that are in the pipeline that are built, like some in my hometown, the same mistake should not happen. Because, for instance, in Brandfleet, the escalations, the way it is, for an ordinary person, it's not acceptable. But because of the type of system that is there, like I indicated, you know, it's a bit healing, you know, to say, no, let me accept this. Let us make sure that those prisons that are now built, the same thing should not, the escalations should not be abnormal. They should be acceptable. Thank you.
Then, with regards to the
advice that we got from the chairperson on the pristine buildings in Giani and the other TVB states, former TVB states, we take note of the proposals. What we suggest is that having not been exposed to this area, and that's not an excuse, we need to do a status quo investigation of what is there, establish the ownership of various properties, and then develop a building utilization and maintenance plan that we would then, if for those properties that's owned by National Public Works, we should then come to the committee with a plan that hopefully you can then advise us on further, or that we will give you proposals on. And at the same time, through the Office of the Acting DG, write your colleague letters to others, as well as private sector landlords, for them to also reciprocate wherever possible on buildings owned by them. And then, as I said, at an appropriate time, we need to make a presentation at portfolio committee so that we can be seen to or show that we are making some progress on this, if that's acceptable to the chairperson and the committee. And I thought I need to just clarify what the minister was stating with regards to the mud schools, if I may, Acting DG. What the minister has done, first of all, the background with regards to schools is that the Department of Education has retained this mandate. I don't want to say taken the mandate away from provincial departments of public works, but the construction and maintenance of schools is not generally a mandate and responsibility of National Department of Public Works. The minister, because of the need in the country, took the initiative of building 10 schools using her budget. So those 10 schools are separate from the education budget. What the minister was also saying, that if through our demonstration of delivery with these 10 schools, the Department of Education can give her department a chance, we may be able to, before 2014, be able to eradicate all of the mud schools. So basically what I'm saying, Ntate, honorable member, is that we don't have that database. So I can't answer you and say that the 50 that you refer to is inclusive of the 800 in total. But I think at some point in time, the minister will engage her colleague so that we can have some sort of strategy for the good of the country as to how we're going to deal with this challenge of the country. Then there was the issue about the NYS. My colleague will add, but just to give the honourable members the comfort of knowing that we utilise EPWP principles, and we also embrace and continue to embrace the National Youth Service Strategy, and the majority, I'm almost tempted to say all, but it's not safe to always say all, of the beneficiaries that we employ are from the youth cadres on our projects. Many of the projects that was launched by DDG Projects and myself, we've got NYS beneficiaries that we've appointed there. I think I've covered basically all of the issues that I think I could make an... there was one issue about the... On page 27, the 20 per region with regards to statutory compliance. I think those... What has been identified by the region is, in addition to the normal capital works implementation program and the planned maintenance implementation program, where inherent in those projects are things like occupational health and safety, accessibility issues for disabled, energy efficiency programs, as directed or guided by the Deputy Minister when we initiated these projects. They inherited part of this. In addition to that, there are at least 20 per region that needs to be continuously looked at in terms of compliance with occupational health and safety and other statutory compliance issues. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Samuel. Mr. Mabula.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. There are four questions that I need to deal with. I'll start with the one that deals with what the other means on slide 32 of the main presentation. That refers to the areas referred already by my colleague, DDG, asset management, which refers to the areas such as Kokstad, Tomfibaba, and Balfour. On the matter of the question regarding the number of projects that were running, shall I say projects as opposed to tenders, Honorable Chairperson? We're running a budget, a capital, DPW capital budget of 1.4 billion. We're running a planned maintenance of about 2.2 billion. We're running about 817 million on maintenance, and about plus minus 170 million on rehabilitation, which means that in the financial year 2011-2012, we're running projects that are plus minus 500. These projects are in three categories. The first category is DPW capital projects. The second category is on plain maintenance. The third category is on client capital. These are projects that we execute on behalf of government departments. All these projects, they run from a small maintenance project in Mthatha to a much more complex capital project in Cape Town, such as the construction of the first ever forensic laboratory for SAPS in the African continent on behalf of SAPS. And the reason why, amongst others, we're saying in our business plan, we're wanting to reduce the number of litigation cases and so forth, there are circumstances under which we face potential litigation. This includes, amongst others, when we decide to subject a contractor in Mora and terminate a contractor on the basis of non-performance by the contractor. The example of this is the case in point where in Skelpad Hector post between South Africa and Botswana, there was one contractor that was underperforming, and we took a decision as a department because the non-performance by that contractor was now compromising national security of the Republic. We then decided to terminate. Of course, some contractors that underperforms have a potential, or rather would want to pursue legal route to challenge the department, more often than not they fail. And the reason why we were taking a decision to say we want to reduce that, it is partly responding to those possibilities. On the matter of the lease, Honorable Chairperson and members at Libombo, and maybe just to refresh our memories with regards to the facts of this case, in 2002, the Department of Public Works as a lessor entered into a lease agreement with Sunrail as the lessee. The essence of this lease agreement was that the land in question would be used for border-related activities. Subsequent to that, Sunrail then entered into a subsequent lease agreement with a private company called Micromatica. We have in the recent past established, and the portfolio committee confirmed that during its visit to Mpumalanga Libombo, that it does appear that there are other activities on the same properties which have got nothing to do with the border-related activities, that to the extent that this might therefore be a breach of contract of both the lease contract that has been entered into by Public Works as the lessor and Sunrail as the lessee. The Department of Public Works, through its Director General's office, already has instructed the two units of the department. The first one is the Internal Audit Fraud and Investigation Unit of the department. The second one is the legal unit of the department to then proceed with the investigation on this subject matter by consulting, amongst others, Sunrail and any other third party that might be implicated on this matter. This process, Honorable Chairperson, members, the investigation is currently continuing, and the sooner it is concluded, normal protocol processes will then follow, which will include, amongst others, the contents of such, the outcomes of such investigation be shared with this honorable committee. The last question was on the matter of the the engineers partnership project. This is a project that has been launched by Minister of Public Works. We can confirm, Honorable Chairperson, that we have received to date, as a result of that project, about 9,000 CVs from either retired professionals as chemical engineers, structural engineers, mechanical engineers, project managers, either as retired professionals or as candidate designate or as young professionals. The Department of Public Works has taken a decision by instructing, therefore, that the HR unit, or what is called Human Capital Investment Unit of the department, together with the Professional Service Unit, has already analyzed all these 9,000 CVs and has taken a decision to then say a spreadsheet has been developed to say which of these 9,000 is qualified, is ready for deployment, which of these 9,000 are candidate designates, can be subjected to mentorship by these retired professionals. The areas in which these candidates or retired professionals are going to be deployed in will be in-house capacity in terms of the refurbishment of all our nine workshops in our regional offices. They are going to be used in terms of the commitment that we've made in our business plan, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of using a particular percentage of our capital budget for purposes of using professional services, strengthening professional services. I can confirm now that as we speak, both units, Human Capital Investment and the Professional Services, are concluding discussions in terms of using two regions as a pilot study for the deployment of those professionals, the 9,000. The one is Limpopo, then the second one is Pretoria Regional Office. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mabuza. The gentleman at the back, what's your name, sir? Delay?
Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm going to respond to the issues of one. I'm going to provide a basic status quo of the various acts and where we are and when we intend to introduce them to Parliament. And The second issue was on the extension of Kiama. Now, in our business plan, as well as our strategy, we've indicated there are three areas that we're working on. One is a review of the Expropriation Act. The second is the built environment professions, and the third is the AgriMark South Africa. In terms of the Expropriation Act, it is currently with ministry waiting for approval so that we can go public with the bill, the draft bill. Once that happens, then we will begin the consultation process and then move towards introduction to parliament. It is envisaged, it's envisaged in terms of our work plan. It should be in parliament around December this year. Now, it's practically impossible for us to include the work plan in our business plans because the work plans alone come to like about 6 pages. We can obviously make each one of the work plans available. The second draft bill is the establishment of AgriMark South Africa as a juristic person. Minister has just recently approved the establishment of the submission of a business case to National Treasury. Now, AgriMark South Africa, as you may know, functions as a ministerial delegation. In order for us to establish it as a public entity, we are required in terms of the PFMA, I think it's section 38M, where the DG of Department of Public Works must write to his counterpart at National Treasury requesting the in principle approval of the establishment of a public entity. To do this, a comprehensive business case must be developed. The business case is one that has just been approved to minister by minister, and we have currently just routing a memo now to DG to request him to request his counterpart at National Treasury to approve the establishment of this public entity. Once National Treasury approves that, then we will begin the process of drafting the bill and begin consultation. We are envisaging the introduction of that bill to Parliament around November this year. Now, the only challenge we face here is if National Treasury does not approve the business case. It's only once they approve the business case can we then be able to drive the process again. So that's the only snag we have in the system right now. The last one is the Built Environment Professions Bill. I think members would remember that the bill was withdrawn from Parliament and remained withdrawn for a period of time. It was only very recently approved by Minister. Now, Minister essentially approved a process for us to begin consulting on changes to the built environment professions. So essentially, we have to start from scratch and reintroduce the entire process. That means reintroduce a policy and then reintroduce a bill. We are currently, as a department, as we stand now, my office is actually trying to convene a meeting of all of the built environment councils so we can start an initial discussion with them on the policy changes. We're envisaging to have a approved policy by December or so this year and then begin the legislative process in the 2011 calendar year. So if all goes well, we're expecting it to be in the second half of next year in Parliament. The second issue is the one on Giyama. We have a team from DPW that's actually working on this, the extension of Giyama to local government. And we've been informed that there's a team as well from COCTAR that's involved here. It's in terms of the Municipal Act and within local government, they are able to manage immovable assets. Now, it seems as though there's no need for new legislation. What's required in terms of the current acts is simply for a program to be put in place. So that's what they're currently working on, is to put a program in place that will speak to the current legislation that will basically give effect to the principles of Kiama. Honourable Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson?
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Earlier, a few issues have been raised on the PWP, and I would like to respond to them. The first one was the upscale target in terms of 4.5 million work opportunities. The question was how. We need to say that for EPWP Phase 2, there is a very clear plan that has been worked out, and amongst others, obviously, would be the consolidation or consolidating and intensifying existing successful programs, but then also there's a whole range of new programs that have been identified, and currently some of them are in the implementation already. Then a big one, obviously, is the question of technical support to all implementing bodies, both provincial departments and municipalities. With regard to the question of the performance of the Expanded Public Works Program, whether the performance has gone down in phase two, we need to state, and we will certainly can provide the portfolio committee with all the data that we have submitted to different forums, and as well as to the president or the presidency. At least the fact is that the target for phase one was 1 million work opportunities over 5 years. That was for the period 2004 to 2009. The actual number of work opportunities reported against that target stood at 1.6 million work opportunities. For phase two, the target for year one was 550,000 work opportunities. The performance against that target was 625,800 work opportunities. We are currently consolidating the figure, the performance against the target for year two of the PLRP phase two, and that is will be against a target of 642,000 work opportunities. So for the record, we need to state that there was actually consistent a positive performance against the set targets. There was also a question with regard to, I think it was with regard to designated groups, but and I'm not sure I got that right in the particular question, but just to say that within the EPLP we do have specific targets set for women, youth and people with disabilities, as I've mentioned earlier. I then, just to add on to the rationale with regard to the incentive grant, the rationale was that with the existing budget, an implementing body should be able to create a certain number of work opportunities. And the rationale behind the incentive grant was that if a performing body or implementing body would be creating work opportunities above the set threshold, they would be the wage component would be paid back to them. And the reason for that was, the argument behind that was so that they can implement more labor-intensive projects. That is actually, and the PHA, if you would recall, we were here last week, the big issue and advice from the portfolio committee was that we have to do proper monitoring with regard to how those funds are used, and that's what we are currently also putting in place. So I thought I should just reflect on those few issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Are we done? Mm-hmm. And there's a question on the vetting.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, I'll respond to the three last questions. Currently, we have got 91 Cuban technical advisors that are still in the country, and their contract is expiring in the next 11 months, meaning that after 11 months, they will need to go back to Cuba. I will provide the portfolio committee with their numbers in terms of the youth, the women, and also people with disabilities who benefited from the skills transfer program that is linked to the international agreements that were signed between South Africa and Cuba. The other question is
vetting the target of 360. As a department, we started with the vetting of all SMS members. We've got a few, I think there are less than 10, who still need to submit their forms, especially the newly appointed SMS members. We still are waiting for NIA to give us the clearance of some of them. Others, they've already received their clearance certificates, but others, there are still challenges there and there, but the process is underway. As a department, we are doing pre-screening for all employees that are joining the department, where we check their qualifications, whether there are no certificates that have already obtained, and also the issue of criminal records before we employ. We employ them in the department. So the 360 is a target for 2011, 2012, because we depend on NIA to assist us with the vetting, especially when we require clearance. With regard to the filling of vacancies, I can confirm, Chairperson, that the 641 vacancies that are funded, we are going to fill them within the 6 months that was agreed upon. And we have already advertised 601 positions, and out of the 601, only 293 are now filled. Others are still going to assume duties in the beginning of May. Others have started. But as I said earlier on, our learners and interns are going to be prioritized in terms of the filling of these vacancies. The 348 positions that are not filled, we are in a process of filling those ones. We are shortlisting, interviewing some of them, and we hope by the end of the 6 months that was identified, will be all the 641 positions will be filled. The only challenge that we're having is the 374 unfunded positions that we still need to try and get funding to fill those positions. As we presented earlier on, I think it was February, to the portfolio committee, we're proposing that maybe we can abolish these positions, and we advise others to see, looking at the high rate of unemployment, we need to do something on that. But the CFO with all the ESCO members are working very hard to ensure that we get funding so that we can be able to fill those vacancies. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, are all your questions responded to? And if they are, we take it. Mama Madlan?
There's a question on military veterans, creating of jobs.
Chairperson, I think why the department is responding to some of the questions raised, we need to guard against
there's one outstanding question, your outstanding question that I wanted them to respond to on parliamentary village. She raised a question, and she wanted to be clarified how often is the furniture changed and all of that. I was still waiting for them to respond before coming back, ma'am.
No. So I'm proposing, Chair Guti, because while I'm listening to some of the responses given to us, I think some of the responses are the responses that we're going to get when we're dealing with the annual reports, because really the detailed part of it, now we're dealing with the annual report. I don't know when September, October comes, what is it that we'll be considering, because now we're digging down. I think we need to be focused looking at the budget, although there can be some diversion here and there, but some of the details given here are the details that you're supposed to engage the department when dealing with the annual reports. I think that will divert our focus, because now our focus is on the strike plan and the operational plan in line with the budget of the department.
Thanks. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable members, Mr. Holmes, can you respond to this?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the matter of the potential partnership with military veterans and job creation and so forth, whether we're doing anything to assist the military veterans, the answer is yes. And concretely, what we're doing is the work that we've already started in Cape Town. We've got 12 officially declared fishing harbors in the Western Cape, in Cape Town, from Houts Bay, Hermanus Bay, and so forth and so forth. With respect to that, we're having discussions. Of course, we can't provide the final details now until we touch base officially and sign off some of the things with military veterans. But some of the discussions and the projects that we'll be having will be to, for example, enter into an agreement to practically give them responsibility of projects such as security of some of the harbors, to enter into some form of projects with regards to certain immovable assets or properties of some of those harbors and so forth and so forth. So yes, we have those processes that are unfolding. We're finalizing a number of discussions with our military veterans to then sign off this thing. Once these internal processes have been discussed and exhausted, announcement will obviously be communicated via the office of the Director General. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Yan Parliamentary.
The question of how often do we change the furniture?
Honourable members, that question, we have got one, what we call the house masters, or people who are mending the villages, and then we do have both in our Pretoria and Cape Town Regional Office interior designers who are responsible for, amongst others, interior decors of these villages. One of their responsibilities is to ensure that they should continuously assess the conditions of these movable assets. And on the basis of this conditional assessment, then advise the department whether we should, on the basis of the condition of this movable asset, whether we should buy or re-apostrophe the furniture, or basically fix it. So the conditional assessment that we receive from our interior designers makes those three recommendations. And once those recommendations are made, the department take those decisions. Of course, this should be linked with the broader context of how we manage movable assets, so that that approach will tell you how often you need to, how quickly you need to change those assets. But fundamentally, what informs the department to take a decision with regards to this are your conditional assessment report that we get from our interior design. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Can I make a follow-up?
Oh, yes.
They're playing with words. Mr. Mabuza, Mina, I expected you to say maybe you change furniture when the new member comes, because do you expect me to lala because you're going to trust your immune daughter in first? I mean, I expected on the issue of beds, especially beds, the bed where you play, that's where you play whatever. Do you expect the next person to come and utilize? No, I'm trying to make him understand how sensitive beds are. I thought maybe you'll. I don't know.
Even I further on this one, Chair. Yeah, Chair. Maybe that's why when I was speaking, I was talking about the policy position on this one, because it can't be finder. Whether you want to change it now, you just change it now. There must be a policy in place on when, like to make an example, duration of a furniture. How often do you evaluate the assets? And then it's where you're going to get a report to say
what is the state of those particular assets. Maybe if we've got a policy or a criteria that we have been following as a department to say, because there must be an asset evaluation so that we can follow that one on the asset evaluation without looking. Because if now we're going to say that all the time, when I come in and then I will say to the department, change this, I don't like this, it's not going to work. We must have a policy position around this particular matter. It will be a suggestion if the department does not have a policy in this regard, because it will cover all of us if there is a policy. And Chair, on the other thing, you know, I'm worried. The Chair was asking something like to say, are you going to establish internal audit? Something of that sort. That was a question. But we are told here that there is internal auditors, there are external auditors. What is the role of these auditors? Are we really getting a value for money from those particular people? I'm worried if now, like the issue of the property that was leased in a minimal rental, whereas we have got the act that is saying that it must be market related, and it's being leased. It's just an irregular thing that was happening. What is the role of these auditors? Are we really getting a value for money? It's my question on this, Honorable Chair. I'm not sure whether it's the second round. I can just pose the question on the next thing. Okay. These are the questions that comes in mind around this particular matter, policy issue or criteria that is being followed clear, and then also whether we are getting a value for money with the structures that we pay. Because we are really looking for them, Honorable Chair, that they advise the department to say this is happening, this is irregular, not until it is discovered by the Auditor General, when we have got internal auditors, external auditors. They are not fair to the department, because they are being paid for this, the work that they are doing. And lastly, Chair, I've seen on the papers, Chair, they are talking about, I don't know, it's Tweefontein Correctional Services that was supposed to be built. It's a police station, yes. It's something that I saw on the papers, Honorable Minister. It's talk about to say that for the whole year, this project is not continuing. And also, when you also hear the responses from the officials of the department, even to the one that was raised to say that it was escalating, they are saying that we are getting an instruction from the correctional services that is we must re-advertise. What is the role of the department? What is the role of the Department of Public Works and the service department? Because the understanding that we have is that they only do the need analysis and give to the department. Can they really push us to say that re-advertise this? Is it not going to backfire on the department when they are no more there? Because it's a responsibility of the department to deal with the tendering issues and so on and so forth. These are some of the things that we need to look at, Chair. But on this one, the police station one, we need to get a clarity, Honorable Chair, to say that what is happening for the whole year. This tender was about 20 million for this Mr. Shabangu, and all of a sudden the department paid like 13 million to this particular guy. And they are saying that now they have closed the tender, you know, they have cancelled the tender, but they are not intending for this particular person to give that money back to the department because that 13 million was paid for some of the job that was done by this particular one. I want to move, Chair, on that one to the Lebombo issue also that appeared on the paper. That we need a clarity as members. They were saying that because it's part of the
Honorable Ngoye Mawila.
Chairperson, I think I've requested long ago that we are dealing with the operational plan of the department. My understanding is that all the issues that you are raising are supposed to be based on the presentation that has been presented to us. But as long as the meeting continues, Chairperson, sekuzongena nalendaba lezi honorable Pelly was assured, because I made a proposal ukuthi the agenda for today was the presentation. The department was supposed to assist us with the additional information where it's necessary. But now, Chairperson, the meeting is diverted because which has not been presented, and of putting a department in a corner now to respond to the issues which we're not prepared to respond to today. And some of the issues, Chairperson, we know the procedure. We don't discuss, we don't start here, we start somewhere. I think I'm saying this again for the second time. But if we're raising, then I'll be meeting in Kuwait. And at the end of the day, the director meeting, and Ngabanguti, even the committee coordinator, and So, Chairperson, I'm still saying, if the meeting is too big, as if you say any logo will present it, because my sister's family isn't. We're talking about
the point, Honorable Mabila. You have made your point. Honorable Mabila, I was going to say to the department they should not respond to these two issues that were raised by Honorable Matlopa.
Yes.
But the gist of the matter in this meeting we are out of order. Can you switch off your mic? The gist of the matter here is for us not to go and raise issues in our debates that should have been clarified in this meeting. That's why all of us, when we go out of this meeting, we should have the same understanding and go and raise issues properly, intelligently, and not go and play politics in that debate. That was my understanding. Honorable Madroba, wait. Don't be patient, man. Honorable Madroba was out of order, and I was not going to allow them to respond to that question. That question is too sensitive to be raised here. We need first to go and deal with it somewhere, like you said. I'm going to give you the last batch of questions based on this presentation. Madroba Angunikandi I platform. Manuan. Thank you. Baba Mama Mazala.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine is just a small question of the typing error. But in page 15 of the presentation, they are talking about gender. But when I look, they are only telling us about the disabled people. I'm not sure whether are they referring only to the disabled people, gender on the disabled people, because I don't see any women. Page 15 of the slide, corporate service.
Thank you. The last question from me, and the minister also requested to be given a slot after this. The last question on me is on the entities. The money that is transferred to the entities. Before transferring these monies, do we check if there are monitoring systems in place for the utilization of the money? I'm raising this issue because the way money is used by some entities, where individuals, they earn more than the president, is not acceptable. To say we need to look into that. And also, I would like to say, the very same entity that I'm mentioning now wants to change into an agent or whatever, to say we need to be guided, to say, though, it's a bit tricky, and I would like the minister to maybe just to touch on it a bit to say, with these entities, are they really performing? And is there a need for us to have entities, or should we do away with entities if they are not performing? What is it about these entities that we are, as government, clearly we are, I don't know, Minister.
Good afternoon. I bring you greetings from Human Settlement. A very interesting debate indeed. So I could only leave after the minister has spoken. Chairperson, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, we really want to thank you for a very lively interaction. You reminded me of something that happened in 94, 95, 96, those two to three years in government. We had only 7 members of the Democratic Party in Parliament, but highly resourceful, researching, and I have always been worried about the size of the Portfolio Committee. And I'm no longer worried about it anymore, because I can see how much you're interested in your work and that you're researching so much. That is why even when the Honorable Chair allowed other issues that are not related to today's debate to happen, we were not worried, because we're getting this energy of the Portfolio Committee that is interested in what government is doing. So I was mentioning those 7 guys, but they kept us on our toes. They would come with questions and what have you, and we were just, you know, this big majority, but we never knew what they were going to come up with at all times. So before I left, I actually wanted to share this case that she still remembers those days when these guys would come 7, you know, and anyway. But what is it that we can take from this meeting, both as the department and as the ministry? Well, one thing that is very clear is that we are not talking to each other as openly and as frankly as we're supposed to. This is what comes out. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been such a lot of questions, because we would be referring to, you remember what we said the other time and so on. I saw, and I think I did share with the DDGs, that I saw the minutes of the Strat Committee presentation by the department of last year, where Honorable Kekana was still a member of this committee. The questions he was asking that time are the questions we're still asking today. Now, my question is, kind of askuli na, if you make mistake today, tomorrow you correct that mistake and so on and so forth. So what I need us to do is that we have noted all the other concerns that are not necessarily related to what we're discussing today. But all these questions must be responded to. If the DDGs don't have the answers to them now, and so on and so forth, and also to welcome at that, to clarify that we don't allow new members to use old bids. They may do so if they want to. But one of the storerooms in Cape Town is full of beds that I've actually asked the Deputy Minister to speak to some boarding schools that are in need of beds to transfer those beds there. Because as soon as a new member comes in, the first thing that has to go is the bed, precisely for the games that the Honourable Member is talking about. I don't know, I'm still very young. And I don't want to be corrupted. So don't teach me anything that I don't know. But I was thinking that let us take all the points that were raised. Let us innocently respond to them. There are challenges, Honourable Members. And some of the challenges that we see is that the DDGs are overloaded. With a department that big, we should have extra DDGs to focus on some of the work. We're trying now to get 2 authorized positions for DDGs so that we spread the work. Otherwise, there's just no way they are going to manage this work. I mean, I have seen myself
how much gray, but I get it gets dark, you know, because there are modern things that make them dark. You know. But how much one cannot cope with some of these things unless you make sure that you've got a resource, a pool of strong people around you. I'm looking at things like the PMTE. You look at the fact that the PMTE has an allocation of 600 million. Ne? But do we know what we are going to do with this money? Have we sat down properly? And I have received two letters from Treasury worried about the PMTE, saying that the PMTE can do a lot. But I still don't see that lot. But I think that I was told that the CFO has sent us a document outlining how this will be operationalized. But let us give ourselves 2 weeks at the most to come back to the portfolio committee with a response that says this is how we are going to unpack this amount of money and this is how it's going to be utilized. So that each one of us has the same information. We don't have to hide things that are supposed to be actually in the in with the portfolio committee. I was also looking at emerging contractors. There's a program for them to be empowered. But the more money we put into that program, the more they disappear from the radar screen. The more we don't have more emerging contractors. What is happening? What is the problem? Why are we forever going to be promoting other people other than the previously disadvantaged people? I don't know. But I'm just saying that we need to throw this to ourselves and look at... I was reading Comrade Togo Didiza's National Maintenance Document of 2006. That document, you just changed the dates. It's relevant today. It's as if from 2006 up until now, 5 years, we haven't done anything. So these are some of the things that go back to the portfolio committee. I mean, go back to the officials, let them look at that and let them, I mean, what I'm saying about the capacity in the department, it must be improved. Otherwise, we're going to be singing a song of sixpence all the time. I looked also at, well, we don't have to overemphasize the EPWP. That is our key. That is our key, Stanley, unless we are talking different languages. But if we are not going to use the EPWP to understand, to unlock potential in our communities, where people are, before I went to the Free State in Kroonstad for at a funeral, and it was my relative's funeral, before we could arrive back from the cemetery, there was already a queue of people who have absolutely nothing to do with the funeral, but because there is an opportunity for a meal, they have to queue there. Our people never had to do those kind of things. Honestly speaking, no matter how tough it was, you would never just go into somebody's house, people that you do not know, just because you're going to get a plate of food. And this thing is not happening. You hear, I'm talking about now two provinces. So it is all over. Wherever you go, you find that. And it says people just need. Look at the social development grants. People want us to end up being a welfare state. We can't. We need to give people opportunities for people to do work. And there is work. Just look at the infrastructure in KZN, the infrastructure in problems in the Eastern Cape. We need roads. We need so many things. People are there, they are ready, if we can just give them the opportunities to do that. And I'm saying to the officials, in fact, you'll see, because I know that they have the commitment that you're talking about, that we need to start making sure that almost, even if it's on a weekly basis, monthly, let us launch a new project. Even if it's on a weekly basis, launch it. Some of our guys and the EPWP are in the Free State. And they're telling me that there's good news, that the region is talking very well to them and so on. Go there, Stanley, as soon as the paperwork is done, let us employ the people, let's get people working. So let it be our business to
to give meaning to this that we say about ourselves. Public works works because of South Africa, works because of public works. Now, we have public works and South Africa is not working. So we need to give proper meaning to that. So, and let me just conclude, Chair. The CIP and the PIP, some of these things we're just putting in all our statements. This is the construction incubation program and the property. I see the CFO is smiling. CFO, please, please, please. I had something like this at cabinet about 3 weeks ago, and people just laughed. They say they've heard so much about this CIP and PIP. They say, why can't you just, you guys just leave it out because it's not doing anything? Because from the incubation period or program, we should be having our people emerging out of there to get into big business. But we still not managing. Now, I don't know whether what the chairperson is saying should not be taken seriously. I personally, I think we need a review of the entities. We need a review of the entities, and I'm not trying to shoot anything down. I will give you an example, for instance. We have Agrima SA. When you look at Agrima SA, Agrima SA is the CSIR. Now you ask yourself, why don't they go to science and technology and join the CSIR? Well, the argument that I am getting, and I think I bought into that argument, was that, no, ma'am, when they go to CSIR, they're going to be lumped with other things. This is a CSIR of construction. That is why we're saying these ones must report to public works. But let us sit down with them and let us ask questions and the comfortable and those uncomfortable questions and finally say, yes, we need them. This is an entity that has done a lot of good work. A lot of good work, because what they do, they discover alternative methods of construction, improved methods of construction. They are the ones that are coming up with the best pothole answer and so on and so forth. But they've been saying these things year in, year out. Nobody has been listening to them. As a result, they come in as a stepchild in public works. So if we really think that they are doing a wonderful job, and I think they are, let's then give them the status they deserve. But the others, I still have my doubts. I still have my doubts as to whether some of these people that we are keeping and making sure that for every year they will come and get money and they go and we don't see the link. I will be very happy with the CIBD saying to me, ma'am, given the low standards of the previously disadvantaged people in the construction industry, we have a program that is going to make sure that we move them from this level to that level. Not the levels to be used as if, because you don't have this level, therefore you can't construct this building. Now, those people who have those levels are the ones that are going to do that. But I think also for me, it's still early days, but I'm still trying to find what is it. I was looking at their toolkit of 2006, very brilliant document. But I don't understand what happened between 2006 and 2011. Brilliant, brilliant toolkit, which they, together with National Treasury, worked on. But we don't see it. We don't know what's going on. So maybe, as they are saying, they are revising their toolkit. They did give me a presentation towards the end of last year. But I mean, end of last year, that's when I was coming in. I was more confused than a cockroach that has just got through some barking sprays that the cockroach do. So I didn't know whether to go left, right, and center. So giving me any information at the time was just for me to smile at you and say thank you. So it's only now that I'm settling in that I'm going back, studying things line by line. Okay, and then they told you about Rukhabisa Tswane, and I think I'm so happy that the portfolio committee says, don't stay in Tswane only.
let's have Rekhabisa Mkanduli. Rekhabisa Khabala Saani. Let's have those kind of things. And fortunately, we have started. Because now, Rekhabisa is the Eastern Cape. We started with Willowvale. The economic activity that we have brought in that area, people will forever remember us. And now we're getting deeper into the rural areas because we're responding to what you're saying here, that please don't stay in the cities, also go to the rural areas. Okay. But I was also reading from Comrade Togo Didiza's notes on Zimisele. And what I read, Deputy Minister, you can help us because Wena, you've been here longer than all of us. From her report, it was working extremely well. People were trained and, you know, when you speak to people who have knowledge and you are swimming in a pool of confusion and you see them smiling, you don't know whether they are saying, hey, people raise these things and you're also going to keep quiet or what. You don't know. I was good in my team. Okay. Okay. And then what I also wanted, Madam Chair, I don't know how many of you are on Facebook. I've already started using Facebook for public works. Your answer, Catherine. I tried you several times. And Catherine Mabuza is a common name, so you find seven of them. And I guess they don't have faces. So you want to find out, law related, no one. Can it be the Catherine Mabuza that I know? Okay. So one question that I put there was, how does South Africa think we could celebrate National Construction Week this year? This week happens in the month of July, ne? So I'm starting to get comments from people there. But, you know, that was also to say, let us get as many South Africans to speak about this. But let us also give this responsibility to the portfolio committee to assist us on what do they want. Some people are saying, let us identify the youth in construction in each province and let there be a competition that culminates into July and something like, I don't know. But those are some of the things that we're getting, which I think we should look at. Policy. Ma'am, we are very weak in a number of areas. But we've started the journey of strengthening ourselves. And so let us work together. What I also saw helpful, Chair, when I was chairing environment and tourism, I, together with the portfolio committee, decided that because we're dealing with this big department, let us subdivide the work. In the portfolio committee, there must be a specialist on EPWP, the person who's going to make sure that the DDG EPWP spends sleepless nights. And when the portfolio committee meets, member A, who is responsible for EPWP, then gives a report on behalf of EPWP. This is what is happening in the provinces, this is what she's following up or he's following up, and so on and so forth. And then the other member also chooses something else, either the leasing portfolio, that how are the leases done, are we on the right track, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So when they come, you have a structured meeting, leasing. They tell you about those 1 cent per year, whatever things, how did they come about, was there legislation, do we have an exit clause, can you get out of that, and if so, how do we get out of it? Somebody's dealing with dolomite. Why are we actually at dolomite? What informed us to put our properties on dolomite? Now we are busy with dolomite risk and what. So we get specialists in the portfolio committee. Even when we go for our debate, the national debate, they are going to look at each of the functions that we have. This one is budgeted this much, it was budgeted that last year, and it's because of the following things and so on, and we have a well structured debate. But it's a lot of work. Because it actually says each one is going to be a specialist. And we don't just go in. When we meet, we know very well that, now we are here, we are not going to have it nice because we are discussing the relationship between EPWP and the CETA, and the expert of EPWP is that honorable member. Expropriation bill, I don't know whether we'll have
time to speed up this process. And we also need, I'll give you the 2006 Comrade Togo Didi's paper. It's quite interesting. When you have time, we'll just make copies for the members. So, policy, we need to improve on a number of things. The role of the auditors that we have, internal auditors, and I mean, otherwise we shouldn't be having the problems that we're having today. They should have picked up that there is a problematic contract coming. Please, and then they flash the red light.
Yeah.
Well, I was taken, I was shocked. I don't know whether I was telling you or I was telling Sikugi, that I was not even aware that we have internal auditors. I was telling the DG that I did not know, but why are we paying them? And we're every day in the newspapers for the wrong thing. One lawyer says, if there's one department that the lawyers in South Africa love, it's public works. In each court in South Africa, there is a case related to public works. Now, that tells us, why do we have a weak legal unit when everything that we do in public works is legal? Because once we miss a word or we put a word where we're not supposed to, we end up in litigation. So why don't we strengthen those areas? That is the reason why all the 600 vacancies HR has put out on advert. Let us employ people, because those 641, those ones are budgeted for. So we have money, let us employ people. And encourage as many people that, because I don't want to be stopped at Pick n Pay when I'm doing my grocery. Now I must be the number. How can you abuse honorable members like that? I'm busy there adding, if I take 490 this and whatever, will I be okay? And then somebody says, Wanaka, what about the relay electrical? Because you saw the TV. But because you know me, you think that because I buy groceries here, therefore you are coming to abuse me. Let us encourage. When we said that the program is for 2 weeks, it is now going forever. Because even yesterday I was seeing a long queue there and told that these are still engineers that are registered. Now the campaign that is going to be very painful, and I'm sure you've covered it, the Operation Bring Back. Honorable members, our assets are in the hands of people who are not supposed to have them. Those of us who campaigned towards 94, you remember how things were just taken. From 91, 92, things were just taken. Now we are saying, a humble, if you don't have papers for the property that you are occupying, we're giving you 6 months to come forward and cleanse yourself so that we help you to be legal. But if you don't within the 6 months, then we have the justice cluster to come in, the law must take it. So I'm just saying that we're going to need your support as well as we start rolling out this. I know the department wants to make it big, they want to have billboards and what. But you see, when you come from the back benches, million to me is very uncomfortable. In the department, it's very easy to talk about 3 billion. Ooh, and I just feel 3,000 rand in parliament, you have to explain thoroughly where the decision was taken, who, you know. But in the department, and I think they're used to it. I asked somebody, I came into the department, this is not the 6th, I came into the department in November. And being the gender activist that I am, I left a program on 16 days of activism in the Economic Development Department, much as it was a young department, but we had already started putting something together. So I then asked the deputy minister, she said, no, there's official so-and-so. I call the official. The first thing that I saw is, the official comes to meet the minister for the first time, doesn't have a notebook. I don't know, maybe I'm an old teacher, Wakai, or school, what is it, scheme book. You can't come to a meeting with your principal, also Pharisee. Then, no, Sisi, we are going to be talking and we need to write, you know. And yeah, then she had a red pen. Then she came back. Now she had some 2 pages or 3 pages and a red pen.
Quintus of Women. But anyway, let me just give you the chance. How are we on the 16 days of activism? DM was, Deputy Minister was there. I was so frustrated, I called him. Deputy Minister, you are in this department and this is what is happening, what's going on? The lady told me, it's November, ne? She said to me, no, we haven't started yet. I said, you haven't started what? Now just tell me what you do from 8 to 5 every day. If in November, and the campaign starts in November, the campaign is only once a year, there is no... That is why I'm not surprised, even under gender, we have only disability men. Which is very good because we just launched the disability policy some few months ago. But where is the other work that the gender unit is supposed to be handling? This is not fair, Acting DG. It's not fair at all. I don't see us responding anywhere to NDGs. Are they not affecting us? They don't. Oh, okay, you've raised it. Okay. You see, backbenchers think the same way. You see? I should have said I'm covered because I know that. No. What's a backbencher always? Ma'am, I just wanted to say those few and say that let us try and make sure. I don't know whether the portfolio committee will allow us another meeting where we're going to answer to all this. Fortunately, our debate is coming late, even later than the elections. But now we are going. Siaguri says. Siaguri says tomorrow on Thursday. Maybe what we could do. You don't mind if we respond by hard copy and send it to all the members, the answers.
I don't think we mind, Minister.
We will make sure that before you adjourn tomorrow, everything has been responded to. We have a document that we sent to you, and which answers almost all. Mr. Mabuza is smiling. He's starting to make to respond. Let us respond to all the things that we will have our own meeting to make sure that we have gone through everything and sent to the chairperson, and then we will hear if members still need some more information. It would be wonderful if, you know, on the 1st of June, especially because our debate, we just dedicated to the children of the world, International Children's Day. We dedicated to the children of the world. We may even, that's me and my thinking. I've got a relationship with the Red Cross Hospital because there are lots of children there who have nobody visiting them. We can dedicate this day to the Red Cross Children's Memorial and make sure that we do the best. But I think that the fact that we have identified the problems, it means that we can start working on the solutions. I thank you very much, and I know that this committee is going to work the department, because since Catherine works, your minister works, your deputy minister works, so there's no way you're going to be able to run to. We just have to make sure that we work together and give our best, not to the portfolio committee, not to the chair, not to the minister, but to the nation. South Africa needs it more than we do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Minister, thank you very much for this interaction. Hey, Mama Makan, I can sacrifice my mark. Minister, I know you to be a very hard worker. I was in your committee for 5 years, environmental affairs, you know. And I know you can make it, supported by the officials that are here. DG, the entity's strike plans are not yet tabled. Can you please make sure that they are tabled before Thursday, if possible? Honourable members, we have come to the end of our meeting, and I'd like to say to the officials, this committee, the majority of members of this committee are women. You can see we are all women, and we are passionate about what we are talking about. This was a very good exercise. It was not an interrogation exercise. We wanted to understand, and we wanted delivery. we want programs that are in the local government, especially on the incentives, to be unlocked. We requested Mr. Henderson to try by all means to assist in unlocking what is blocking municipalities from accessing those funds. And also we'd like to say we want to see our rural areas developed. Underscore, thank you very much. And can the members of the ANC remain behind for 2 minutes? Thank you very much. Enjoy your evening. And my Honorable Mabuza. What? Officials don't declare. They,